You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Almost 3,000 people died on the morning of September 11th, 2001. One man, though, Danny Lewin, was almost certainly the first victim of those attacks.
He was on board American Airlines Flight 11 and was reportedly stabbed to death while trying to stop the terrorists from taking control of his plane before it hit the first tower of the World Trade Center.
Danny isn't only remarkable because of his actions on September 11th, 2001. He was also a mathematical genius who created a billion-dollar tech company, which ironically proved critical for communications in the days after the attacks.
Reporter and author Molly Knight Raskin is here with us now to talk about the life of Danny Lewin. His book is called No Better Time, The Brief, Remarkable Life of Danny Lewin, the Genius Who Transformed the Internet. Molly, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it's such a remarkable story. What got your interest in telling Danny's story?
Well, I first heard about Danny around the 10th anniversary of 9/11. A friend of a friend told me some fragments of his story, and as a freelance journalist, somebody asked me to produce a short documentary tribute video to him for the 10th anniversary. And at that time, I just thought, I heard all these various disparate pieces of his life, his actions on 9/11, but more so the way he lived and what he created, and I thought to myself, why don't more people know this story? And from there, I just became determined to tell it in full.
Let's begin on the last day of his life. Why do we understand that he was the first victim of the attacks?
Well, what we know from the facts as gathered by the 9/11 Commission is that the passenger on that flight in seat 9B in business class, which was Danny's seat, was stabbed by one of the terrorists who was seated behind him. We know there was some kind of a struggle that concluded in that stabbing. Beyond that, the facts are scanty, really. And so I do use the word almost certainly the first victim because we'll never know for sure exactly what happened on that flight. But what I did with the book was take the evidence from the 9/11 Commission and combine that with two facts about Danny, one of which was that he served in the most elite counterterrorism unit of the Israeli army and was trained to hunt and kill terrorists. And the second part was interviews with more than 100 people who knew them who said he would have never, ever, ever gone down without a fight.
And that's something that struck me reading your book is that everybody you talked to said, yeah, that sounds like Danny.
Yeah, he was someone who really relished in competition and relished in arguing and was rather combative and also physically extremely strong. Again, a trained warrior in this elite unit. And so there's really no doubt in my mind after interviewing so many people, even people who served with him in the army in Israel, that once he had some inkling of the terrible thing that was about to happen on that flight, that he made a plan to do something and he jumped into action.
And let's talk about one of the other remarkable parts of his life. What did Danny Lewin do for the internet?
It's really a remarkable story of what he did in his life. I mean, he died at age 31, and in those few years before his death, he wrote a set of algorithms for his master's thesis at MIT, and he used these to transform the internet with a company he co-founded with one of his professors called Akamai Technologies. And it's not a well-known name today like any of the big giants in computing, but the company he created made the internet a better, faster functioning internet. And at the time when he invented these algorithms, the internet was moving very slowly and crashing a lot because of congestion. And he developed something that made it faster and better and turned it into a multi-billion-dollar company in his late 20s.
Let's talk a little bit more. We don't need to get too technically detailed, but as you described, and I remember those days, if more than 20 people, it seemed like, went to the same website at the same time, it got very, very slow. How did he tackle that problem?
He tackled the problem using complex theoretical math. And so basically what he did was write this set of algorithms and used those to create a sort of a magic layer, they call it, on top of the internet. So Akamai itself set servers up around the world and then programmed these servers with their intelligent software. And that intelligent software was and still is able to route content and data through channels of the internet that are not congested. And so it basically was like a FedEx of the internet. And The underpinnings of that technology programmed into those servers came out of Danny's master's thesis.
And you describe Lewin and others as well as a mathematical genius. Where did that come from? Did you get a sense from him growing up, from his life, why this mathematical genius developed?
Definitely. I mean, he understood math at a level that is so complex that, you know, there have been those who have written extensively about it and argued that it is innate. And there's no doubt but that Danny's family, his parents were both extremely intelligent. They were doctors. They fostered in all of their kids an enthusiasm for intellectual curiosity, for math and science, for learning about computers when just the first PCs had come out. And so he was not only innately gifted, but he was brought up that way. And then that gift really came into view when he attended graduate school, first in Israel and then at MIT. And even then, when he was at the two top schools for science and engineering in the world, those around him said, "This is one of the smartest guys I've ever met."
In talking to people about his career, do you get a sense of the lost potential of what he would have done if he hadn't died in the September 11th attack?
Definitely. I think that's the question that, to this day, haunts everybody who knew him well. He died so young, and he accomplished so much before his death that it's hard not to wonder what he could have accomplished. And, you know, he wasn't a household name, but he created something that most of us use every day when we log on to the Internet for things like Facebook or iTunes. And it's the magic that keeps the Internet up and running. And it's something that he would have probably taken and built on for the rest of his life. He was someone who never slowed down. And so there's also no doubt in my mind he would have done great things had he lived beyond such a young age.
Would he be a household name, do you think, like the late Steve Jobs, say, or Bill Gates?
I think so. You know, I think so personally, but I also interviewed a lot of people in technology and business who are giants themselves, co-founder of Yahoo, founder of Ticketmaster, and all of them believed that he would have been. And so I think that there's good indication from what I think his trajectory would have been that we would have known him as a household name.
How ubiquitous on the Internet are the things, the algorithms he created? Is it something that everybody uses, or at least uses something inspired by what he did?
Oh, sure. I mean, Akamai now is a huge company. It's a multi-billion-dollar worldwide company, and at any moment they control or work with 30% of the Internet traffic around the world. And again, a lot of these giants, these names and technology that we all take, you know, sometimes take for granted, their speed and efficiency, and they run on Akamai. They run on Akamai servers. So we do use that technology every day, and it's got this lasting impact that is pretty extraordinary. It hasn't changed much. And sure, now today there are competitors and there are people who do similar things, but Akamai has sustained itself throughout many years of economic upswings and downswings and still managed to stay afloat and be successful. And if you ask people there, a lot of them will say it's because of Danny.
You talked to a lot of people who knew him professionally and personally. What was he like as a person?
Well, the thing that really attracted me to writing about him and writing a book about him is that he, despite the fact that on paper, you know, it just looked like everything he touched turned to gold. I mean, it was almost, you know, when I approached this, it was like writing about someone who was superhuman. This guy was so brilliant. He was so physically agile. He was so gifted. He became such a keen businessman. He had a quick wit. He was a nice guy. But he was also really complex, and that's why I really enjoyed writing about him. I think he was someone who this sort of speaks to the title of the book. He really never wanted to waste one minute. And even at such a young age, he was just squeezing the life out of every second of every minute of every hour of every day. And I found that really fascinating, just what that kind of drive and where it comes from and how he got it, which is really what I try and get to in the book. And it was really inspiring to me to write about somebody like that. And, you know, maybe that was also, you know, it has its downsides too, which is that he didn't get to spend as much time with family or friends or enjoying this great wealth that he accumulated so quickly.
In our last minute, ironically, I guess one of the greatest tests of the things he created to help prevent the Internet being congested was the September 11th attack that he died in? How did the internet, how did the people using his technology do with the massive surge of people going online to see what the heck was going on?
Yeah, well, it's the really tragic irony of the story is that, you know, all along for the years that he created Akamai, Danny predicted that someday the internet would see some crush of traffic that the system just couldn't handle and that Akamai would be there to help manage it. And September 11th really proved everything that he said to be true, which was, you know, it proved the 100-year flood equivalent on the web of disasters. And at the same time, Akamai was there to help a lot of really critical websites that people were using to get information stay live that day and not crash. And it was because of Danny's technology that they were able to do that.
Molly, thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
That was Molly Knight Raskin. She's a reporter. Her new book is No Better Time, The Brief Remarkable Life of Danny Lewin, the Genius Who Transformed the Internet. That book just came out today.
Coming up tomorrow on Central Time, we'll speak with an African-American journalist who returned to his college alma mater to find out why so many students like him never graduate.
We'll also talk about why voting and eating may be more related than you thought. A public health expert who studies food and food politics will give us a lowdown on the political world of the food industry.
And we'll continue our Curious Wisconsin series tomorrow. We're going to take a look at Ripon's Mystery Cave.
That and a lot more coming up tomorrow here on Central Time.
Coming up after the news, it's this week's installment of Wisconsin Life, and we'll pay a visit to Bayfield. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.